1 Corinthians chapter 11, look with me at verse 23. For I have received of the Lord that which also I delivered unto you, that the Lord Jesus, the same night in which he was betrayed, took bread. And when he had given thanks, he brake it and said, Take, eat, this is my body, which is broken for you. This do in remembrance of me. After the same manner also he took the cup, when he had supped, saying, This cup is the New Testament in my blood. This do ye as oft as ye drink it in remembrance of me. For as often as ye eat this bread and drink this cup, ye do show the Lord's death till he come. Wherefore whosoever shall eat this bread and drink this cup of the Lord unworthily shall be guilty of the body and blood of the Lord. But let a man examine himself, and so let him eat of that bread and drink of that cup. For he that eateth and drinketh unworthily eateth and drinketh damnation to himself, not discerning the Lord's body. For this cause many are weak and sickly among you, and many sleep. Now our text is verse 26. And there is here in this text a timeline. We see it here where we read the words at the last of the verse, ye do show the Lord's death till he come. You know the Lord Jesus as your Savior. You are a person in the middle. And as I want to see if I can clarify this to you, because the Lord's death is past history. It's an established historical fact that the Lord Jesus gave his life for our sins upon the cross. I want to stop here and just ask you a question. What verses come to mind when you think about the Lord Jesus dying in your place on the cross? Can anyone tell us a verse that springs to mind? I have verses that are my favorites. What's yours, Cam? John 3:15. Would you read that for us, please? 16. All right, good. Very good. Would you back up just a few verses before? Look in your Bible there and read us the one about the Lord Jesus being lifted up, or as the people had to look to the serpent, on the brazen serpent on the pole. Would you read us that as well? While he's looking there, who else can give us another verse that tells us about the Lord Jesus dying in our place, dying for our sins? That read it aloud for us. All right, thank you, Clem. That's a wonderful verse. What do you find there, Kim?
And as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, even so must the Son of Man be lifted up, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have eternal life.
So the lifting up of the Lord Jesus is a reference to the cross. The Lord Jesus raised up, lifted up high on the cross. One of my favorite verses is the one in 1 Peter 2 in verse 24, where we read these words, who his own self, talking about Christ, bare our sins in his own body on the tree, that we being dead to sin should live unto righteousness, by whose stripes ye were healed. Does anyone have another verse that you think of that refers to the Lord Jesus dying in our place? He is our substitute. Very good. Would someone give us verse 6 as well? Do you know that one by memory? Isn't that wonderful? The Lord has laid on him the iniquity of us all. The Bible's full of verses that speak about this substitutionary atonement, the Lord Jesus dying in our place. But what the text in 1 Corinthians 11 and verse 26 speaks of is that the Lord is saying to the Corinthian Christians here, when you observe the Lord's Supper, you are talking about that established historical fact that the Lord Jesus died in your place upon the cross. This is so important. Because when we take the Lord's Supper, we are not just observing some empty religious ritual. I'm sure that's how people look at the Lord's Supper so many times. This is something Christians do, so since I think I'm a Christian, I will do the same thing. This is talking about the Lord's death for our sins. But did you notice in reading that verse that there is also an ultimate limit to the observance of the Lord's Supper? Look again at 1 Corinthians 11 and verse 26, where it says, "You do show the Lord's death for how long? Till he come. This is to be observed until the Lord Jesus returns." We speak about the return of the Lord Jesus as being the blessed hope, don't we? We think that the disciples, when they read those words written by Paul in 1 Thessalonians, I believe it is. Is it 1 Thessalonians he refers to? No, it's in Titus. He refers to the blessed hope. We think that the apostles, when they heard that phrase, they thought about the promise of the Lord Jesus, who said in John 14, "I go to prepare a place for you, and if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there ye may be also." So we have these historical limits. We have the cross, where the Lord Jesus died for us, and then we have the glorious return of the Lord Jesus coming to take us home to be with himself, and the Christian in the middle is observing that great sacrifice of the Lord Jesus for our sins, what provided eternal life for us, and looking forward to doing this as long as we are alive, waiting for the Lord to come back again, till the Lord come. A beginning and an ending. And then in the middle, the Lord says that we are to remember him by partaking of the bread and the cup. He makes it clear to us that the bread is not a repeated sacrifice. It's simply a memorial meal. All we are doing is partaking of bread, unleavened bread, bread with no leaven, no yeast in it, picturing sin. That pictures the body of Christ. Unleavened bread pictures the body of the Lord Jesus given on the cross in the past for our sins, and that we are partaking of the cup that pictures, only pictures, the blood of Christ that was shed for our sins. It is not the blood of Christ. I keep thinking about Lawrence Yafo, that was a pastor in Port Moresby years ago, and how he did his best at that point to tell people that neither of the ordinances have any saving virtue in them. Not baptism and not the Lord's Supper. We were there, I was there one Sunday with him way back in the 1980s, and he said, "We're going to have a baptismal service this afternoon." And they had a baptistry somewhat like ours, outdoors, beside the church. And he said, "That water will not save you. You can go down in the water and you can come up and you'll still be the same person you were before. You will not be saved by being baptized." He made that ever so clear. He said, "In fact, after we finish baptizing, I'm going to let the water out and wash my dog in that water." And we all sort of chuckled because we knew that what he was saying was that the water is not holy water. And it's not some special sanctified liquid or something like that. It was just water that was used to picture our identification with Christ. And so it is with the Lord's Supper. The bread has no ability to impart eternal life to us, and neither does the cup. And so we see that our observance of the Lord's Supper has a past tense historical fact that brings us, through believing the gospel, brings us into the relationship with Christ. And it also brings us into fellowship with each other. All of you know, I'm sure you know, that the word communion is the same word as the word fellowship. Have you thought about what we are saying when we take the Lord's Supper? We are saying that I have been saved through the death of Christ, his burial and resurrection, faith in him, and so have all of these others who have trusted in him, that we have been saved and that there is fellowship on the basis of the death of Christ for our sins. That fellowship is what we call communion. I think this is really beautiful because we're not only fellowshipping with each other tonight in partaking of the Lord's Supper, But we're fellowshipping in a very broad sense. We're fellowshipping with Paul and Peter and James and John, with Philip and Bartholomew. We're fellowshipping with believers of centuries gone by, those who were burned at the stake for their faith. I was talking to someone the other day about Hugh Latimer, Cranmer and Ridley, and others who were burned at the stake for their faith in Christ. They are in the same communion. We do not get to take communion with them. We're not in the same building, in the same time frame. But there's going to be a day in heaven when we are with those people who gave up their lives for the testimony of Christ. And we're in that fellowship of believers. We have no idea to know. We have no way to know how long it will be until the Lord returns. Most of you, I think, are inclined to think, along with Pastor, that we must be drawing very near to the return of the Lord. And some of the things that are happening on the political scene and the religious scene make us think that times and seasons indicate that the Lord's coming may be very, very near. And we sincerely hope that that's the case. But suppose that the Lord some way works in history and in people's lives so that 50 years goes by, 60 years, 70 years, 100 years go by, there wouldn't be any of us that would still be alive, I expect, at that time. But there will be some other Christians who will be in the same fellowship of believers between the cross and the return of Christ, in that same fellowship, that same communion of believers. We are in a very large group of people around the world who know the Lord. Paul Brand's books, I've told you, have been such a blessing to me. And he told about a leper that he treated for leprosy, and they were able to arrest the leprosy so it was no longer progressing through his body. And because in India, where they lived, there was the caste system there that looked down on anyone that had leprosy, and they were rejected and refused. But this man not only was healed of leprosy, but he came to know the Lord Jesus as his Savior. He trusted the Lord. And he said to Paul Brand, he said, "Do you think the Christians would receive me into the church?" Because the caste system was such a serious thing that often churches would not let a leper come into the church. And so Paul Brand went to the pastor of this church and he said, "Would you be willing to receive a brother who was a leper and has now been healed of his leprosy? The scars were there. But would you be willing to receive him into the church?" And the pastor went to the elders and to the people and talked it over with them. They said, "Yes, if he knows the Lord, he's not infectious, we would love to have him in the church." And so the very next Sunday morning, Paul Brand brought this Indian brother in Christ to the door of the church. And the pastor welcomed him into the church. He shook his hand. And he said, "Welcome, brother." I think the man's name was John. "Welcome, brother John." And welcomed him into the church. One of the men in the church was sitting near the back. And he motioned to this fellow, John, to come and stand by him. And he shared his hymnal with him. And it just moved John to tears to think that he would be welcomed by brothers in Christ. And he was saved and they were saved and he would be welcomed. And then when they took communion, you know, a lot of churches don't take communion like we do. They don't take communion with little cups and separate pieces of bread. They have a loaf of bread, and they have one cup. And these churches there in India, when they took the Lord's Supper, they stood in a circle. The people stood in a circle. And then as they passed the bread, they would say to the next person, "This is the body of Christ." And the person next to them would break off a piece and hand it to the next person and say, "This is the body of Christ," symbolically, just as a pictorial emblem. And so here is this new Christian who's come the first time to church, and the fellow next to him says, "Brother John, this is the body of Christ." And he hands him the bread. And it's overwhelming to John to think that he would be welcomed into this communion. On the brethren assemblies that we've attended, they have one cup, and they have a serviette that goes with the cup, and they wipe the lip of the cup. If any of you are hypersensitive, you might have difficulties with this. Well, they take a sip out of the cup, and then they wipe the rim of the cup and hand the serviette and the cup to the next person and say, "This is the blood of Christ." And so the brother standing next to John handed him the cup. He wiped the rim, didn't want him to get any germs from that fellow, and handed it to him and said, "Brother, this is the blood of Christ." And it's so moving to think that there was that acceptance, that entry into fellowship, that welcoming there. And we should have that in mind as we think about taking the Lord's Supper. We're not just taking the Lord's Supper as individuals. We're taking the Lord's Supper in fellowship. You looking back to the cross? I'm looking back to the cross. You looking forward to the Lord's return? Oh, yes, I am. I hope it's tonight. So where we are in fellowship, we are Christians in the middle between the cross and the return of the Lord Jesus. And in the middle, we're sharing fellowship one with another. If you know the Lord Jesus as your Savior, we encourage Christians to search their own hearts. I have no right to come down row after row, person after person, and try to search your heart. I can't do that. You can't do it for me. But for us to examine ourselves, to see where we stand with the Lord. Are you truly saved? Have you really believed on the Lord Jesus? Is the cross a living part of your life? Did Jesus die for you? Are you really saved? Are your sins washed away? Are you walking in obedience to the Lord? We believe the ordinances, the order of the ordinances is really important. Baptism was established first and then the Lord's Supper. And we encourage people not only to be saved, but to be baptized, believer's baptism, before they take communion. That's the order in Scripture. So we encourage people to do that. But you have to search your own heart. And are you in the fellowship? Are you in the fellowship of believers? You know the Lord Jesus for yourself. If you died tonight, you would go to be with the Lord because of your salvation through Christ. So we're going to pray now. And Kim, I might get you to choose some hymns for us to sing, or one to sing that we can sing a verse and so like that. And we're going to ask the Lord to help us in this regard. We do believe, Heavenly Father, that we are believers in the middle, in the center of the timeline of history between the cross and the rapture. And we look forward to the return of the Lord Jesus. What a blessing it will be if our Savior calls us home tonight. And we're praying, Lord, that you'd help us to realize that our actions tonight in partaking of the bread and the cup actually preach the death and burial and resurrection of Christ. We preach Christ till he come. Help us remember that. We would not be hypocrites, we would not be false professors, and claim to be preaching Christ when he does not dwell within our hearts. Help us, Lord, by your help, to search our hearts and make sure that we're saved. And if we're not saved, or we're out of fellowship with you, Lord, far away from you in daily practice, then help us to abstain and realize that we need to be walking with the Lord and to be right with the Lord. So we want to thank you now. We pray that as we partake, it would be sincere, would be worshipful, honoring to the Lord, and help us to keep fresh in our mind what this means. We pray this in Jesus' precious name. Amen.